Every day, companies you've never heard of are making millions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records on the internet, then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace built on your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. Aura removes your personal data from broker sites and keeps it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal system. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your online life. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager for safer logins, and spam call protection to shut down scammers. Aura scans the dark web for your most sensitive information and notifies you instantly if anything is exposed. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 billion in insurance and 24/7 US-based fraud support. Other service charges about the same, but only cover one or two areas. Aura gives you everything: data broker removal, identity and credit monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all in one simple app. Aura removes what's already exposed, protects what's not, and puts you back in control. Go to aura.com/remove for complete digital protection and peace of mind. That's aura.com/remove.
Get ready, Ohio. FanDuel, America's number one sports book, is coming to the Buckeye State. And to kick things off, you can get started with $100 in free bets as an early sign-up bonus. Plus, when you sign up today with promo code OHIOFD, you'll be all set when FanDuel goes live in Ohio. Then you can bet on all your favorite teams in all your favorite sports with $100 in free bets. Just download FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Ohio, this is your chance to get in on the action. Join today with promo code OHIOFD. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 or older and present in Ohio. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after FanDuel accepts its first real money sports wager in Ohio, 1-1-23. Unique user identity verification required. Offer ends on the go live date. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Winning comes in all shapes and sizes. Every day there's an opportunity for a win, just like scratchers from the Virginia Lottery. Every day grab and go. Every day giftable. Every day fun. It's where anticipation meets instant gratification. And they're satisfying to scratch, no matter the outcome. Like the new Virginia Lottery Scratcher Colossal Cash. It's loaded with $100 to $500 prizes. Now, that's an everyday win. Drive to the nearest Virginia Lottery retail location and pick up a scratcher today. Odds of winning any prize, 1 in 3.21.
Introducing the Lowe's List for Innovation. While our aisles are filled with innovative products, we've selected our favorites just for you. Like the exclusive Whirlpool washer with industry-first 2-in-1 removable agitator. We love this washer because you can customize any load. And with other smart features to streamline your laundry routine, this product is a must-have for families. Shop the full Lowe's List of top picks at Lowe's.com. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. U.S. only.
All right, this is Film Study with Ken McCusick. This is a special episode where we're going to go through the tiebreaker situations that the Ravens could see themselves in and playoff chances and all that stuff. As even though we had coming off a loss, there's still some playoff stuff to get excited for. So, Ken, how are you doing?
Life's good, Josh. How about you?
I am so much happier to be doing a special episode for tiebreaker situations rather than a special 336 because Manny's been traded.
It happened today?
Not yet. No.
Ugh.
I'm just saying, all the news is that Manny's gun this time in Baltimore is running out, and I am not looking forward to that.
Yeah, no, I'm not either. I saw there's something came over Twitter today that said he wasn't going to be traded to the Yankees, and that was at least something, but if he's traded at all, that's, of course, horrible.
I don't know. I kind of feel like let's trade him to the Yankees and make a super team up there. It would not be good for Baltimore Oriole fans, though.
No, it would not.
So let's focus on something fun, and that's the Ravens. And that I think we've had time to get over the 1-point loss to the Steelers. So now the wild card situation gets complex. So
yeah.
Let's go through that.
So it's an extremely complex AFC wild card situation. So let's, for starters, the Ravens have clinched the number 2 spot in the AFC East if they finish 9-7. So they could finish in an 8-8 tie with the Bengals. I didn't actually look to see if that tie could be broken in favor of the Bengals, but it's not going to matter for playoff purposes.
Right.
So for they've effectively clinched for any kind of consideration of the wild card a 9-7 second place finish.
But second in the division doesn't mean anything, right?
No, not except other than you can be you're in the contention for the wild card.
Right, it means you're better than the Bengals and the Browns.
That's true. That's true. Right. It's a wide space in there.
Right.
You know, one of the things that's funny about the Ravens is they might right now be the best team in the AFC, and that's what sounds kind of funny coming off that loss at Pittsburgh by 1 point. But if you think about it, you know, they lost by 1 point on the opponent's field. You know, the opponent gets about 3 points by playing at home, so there's about a 6 point swing from home to road. The Patriots aren't playing well. A stat called DVOA that is done by Football Outsiders has the Ravens with the number one special teams unit, which I don't think anybody would disagree
with. We'll agree with that.
Number one defense in the AFC. Jacksonville, maybe they're close, but they are the number one for DVOA purposes.
They struggled on Sunday, but okay. The turnover ratio is way in their favor.
Right. And the 22nd best offense, which is substantially improved from where they were. They were up from about 29 3 weeks ago to 22 this week. So that combination where the Ravens have now are approaching an average offense. They've been good for two games. Forget average.
Right.
They've been good for two games.
Yes.
But they're approaching an average offense for the entire season. Really does give the Ravens a lot of upside potential to go on the road in the playoffs, I think, and make real noise. So I don't think it's strange that they should be the top-rated team in DVOA. I do think that their wild card situation is not nearly as good as that, though.
Right, and I did see that thanks to the defense scoring some points as well, they're ninth in total points scored for the season.
That's
so it's not as horrible as we like to go on to extremes, and it's not that bad. What is DVOA? You mentioned DVOA. I've seen DVOA mentioned online. Mm-hmm. It looks like a bunch of letters just crammed together. So what is DVOA?
DVOA stands for Defensive Value Over Average, which is, I believe, what they started measuring, but it now is used for all three phases of the game. And it was created by Football Outsiders, which is a group that I'd highly recommend you go and check out their website. They have some great stuff there, playoff odds report that comes out every week, and other things there as well, too. But the team efficiency ratings are the things people are most interested in seeing every week, and they kind of are addicted to. And they have a good story that gets wrapped around that. But generally speaking, DVOA attempts to measure the wins by play that occur for each team. And then translate that into a game and then a season rating. And they have regular DVOA and they have something called weighted DVOA, which uses the more recent games more heavily. And that's the one the Ravens are number one in the AFC at.
Okay.
And in fact, they're number four in the entire NFL, but number three if you account for the injury to Carson Wentz. So it's the Ravens are one of the legitimate Super Bowl contenders. Don't let the events of 2 days bother you too much about that. We'll move on from it, and it'll be exciting when the Ravens get to the playoffs if they in fact can make it.
Okay, so DVOA takes more into account of how you currently look and currently are constructed.
That's right.
Rather than just if you were horrible in the beginning of the season, it doesn't hurt you as much.
That's correct. One other important note, which is always a complaint, is that it adjusts for the opponent. So if you played a bunch of weak opponents, it adjusts for that.
Okay, so they try to figure out how you will do facing up with the Steelers and the Patriots. And even though the Ravens lost on Sunday night, I guess losing by 1 point and keeping up with the Steelers helps them in the DVOA?
Probably does. I mean, I would think that their defense certainly suffered and their offense went up and they would, in net, it would gained a little bit from that game.
All right.
Because they faced a tough opponent and they played them basically even.
Okay. After the loss, there was some confusion because NBC posted that bumped they bumped the Bills ahead of the Ravens in the wild card in their postgame show. And online, there's a whole bunch of different tools that we can use to figure out this wild card scenario. But it's so confusing. Are there any of these tools that are actually easy to use?
Well, the tools are good for testing individual scenarios. So if you want to check and see if you're right after you've done the work to kind of figure out what might be a scenario where the Ravens are out or in, then go ahead and test it that way.
Okay.
But where the tools fail you is there are 2 to the 48th possible outcomes of the remainder of the season. There's 48 remaining NFL games to be played. Each of them can go two ways. Throw away the tie, any possibility of a tie, which, you know, there is some of that.
Right.
But it's 2 to the 48th possible outcomes. And that is just too many for you to individually put into a computer program. That, now, to give you an that order of magnitude on that number, but it's absolutely enormous.
Now, I imagine there's some of those games that you can cross out that have no impact. Is that correct, or is it because it gets down to strength of schedule, almost every game has some type of impact?
Right. Well, strength of victory, certainly, every game does have some sort of impact, and that's a good point, Josh. The other thing about it is that we are trying to do that for folks. With what we're going to talk about over the next 45 minutes to an hour, we're going to try and take people through what are the things that can simplify the discussion in terms of figuring out who can make it and what games we want to root for and which are the important results for the Ravens going forward.
All right. Well, let's start with, besides the Ravens, what are the other teams we need to be concerned about? Who else is in this running?
Okay. So I've divided them in a way, and I have made a simplification that I'm going to talk about here to start with. You've got two division winners that we're assuming right now. Pittsburgh has actually won it. They've actually clinched. New England has not clinched their division yet, but we're going to assume they're the division winner for purposes of this. They actually need to win one more ball game. Here's the funny thing, and boy, would it be funny if this occurred. It is still possible for New England not to make the playoffs. If they lose their remaining games, and you know, they have a bunch of injuries on defense, and they didn't look that good on offense this last week, but if they lose their remaining games, they could fall to 10-6. Buffalo could win out to go to 10-6. Buffalo would take the East based on division record, and then the Ravens would, if they win out, win the wild card based on conference record, and the Patriots, if Tennessee stayed ahead of them at least, stayed ahead of the Ravens, could then be out entirely.
All right.
And that would be very fun.
That's a lot of fun, and that would be pretty amazing. There's no way I'm betting any money on that happening.
Good bet.
All right. Okay. Good bet. All right. Yes. All right. So the Patriots, we're going to assume they're clinching.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, we have 8 teams fighting for 4 spots, and they are the Ravens, of course. They're our heroes. Buffalo, Miami, Jacksonville, and Tennessee from the South. One of those two will win the division. And then Oakland, the Chargers, and Kansas City, one of those teams from the West will win the division. So you have 8 teams playing for 4 spots. There are 6 teams that are out right now. We can talk about them just briefly. Cleveland, Indianapolis, Houston, Denver, the New York Jets, and Cincinnati. Cincinnati has actually, I believe, and maybe the Jets also have a slight chance to get in at 8-8, but not it's far less than 1% and not worth considering here. So okay, we're just going to eliminate them for purposes of this discussion.
All right. All right, so we've got 8 teams, 4 spots. Where do you want to start with who should you look at first?
That's a great question. So let's start first of all by describing what the tiebreakers are.
Okay.
Because a lot of people work with this and they understand it. Other people are, you know, kind of it's like passer rating. It's like a black box to them where they, you know, they'd love to see a high passer rating, and they might even know that 158.3 is perfect, right. but they don't know, you know, how to calculate.
No, I can get you 2 levels into a tiebreaker, then I'm lost.
Oh, tell us the first 2 levels, Josh.
Oh, well, it would be head-to-head and then inner division, right?
Well, that's for a divisional tiebreaker.
Okay,
so that's good.
That's right. If it's wild card, it'd be a conference.
The conference record is correct. Let's start at the top of that, though, because you mentioned divisional tiebreakers. There aren't any for the Ravens to be concerned about, but the divisional tiebreakers will impact who is the sole competitor against the Ravens from each division. So each division kind of gets a representative from among the teams with the same record. So to state that out a little better, if the Ravens end up 9-7, and there are 2 9-7 division teams in the West, for example, then only one of those is going to represent the division in the wild card tiebreaker. So your division tiebreakers are dealt with first to determine who your one representative is.
Right, because the one person will get the division, the other person goes to the wild card.
That can be true, and it also can be true if there's a second and a third place team that you only have one representative going to the wild card. Yeah,
that's correct. You can't have 2 from your division?
No, that's correct. You can only have 1, and then you can come in again, and the second team can have another chance at it once the first team is in. but you can only have one in the initial comparison. Okay, so now let's go ahead with the wild card tiebreakers, and that starts with head to head, as you said, Josh, same as before, conference record, just like you said. The third one is one people don't often think about. It's common opponents. So any team that you don't face head to head in the conference, you have at least five common opponents during the season. And depending on where you finish relative to other teams you're comparing to, you may have many more. And I think the maximum possible common opponents you can have is 11, which the Ravens happen to have versus Tennessee this year.
Okay.
So they have 11 common opponent games. So the only non-common opponent games they have are the one head-to-head game, the Ravens played Tennessee and lost, and the four out-of-conference games, which, of course, you'd play a different division, so you couldn't have any common opponents there.
Okay.
So anyway, so that's kind of a neat thing. And the fourth tiebreaker is the one the Ravens cannot have occur. It's strength of victory, and the Ravens are absolutely last in that, where they have very big advantages in all the other ones. They have big advantages in head-to-head, conference record, common opponents. If somehow via multi-way ties it gets to strength of victory, or by ties in the other categories, that's how the Ravens are going to get screwed and left out of the playoffs.
Gotcha.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's get into it exactly with the Ravens. And if they win out, are they in?
Well, yeah, it's been reported that way. I don't know where I've seen this locally, but I thought I maybe saw it in the paper. I know I've seen it online. I thought they said it on NBC that the Ravens were in at 10-6, but they're not, unfortunately. They do not control their own destiny at this point. And there's one specific example where they're not in at 10-6. And what would have to happen is the Ravens would have to win out, and Buffalo would have to win out. Then those two teams would be 10-6. Tennessee would have to suddenly get their act together and win the division by winning one of their first two games and then also winning the season finale against Jacksonville at home to win the division. And then Jacksonville, if they win only one game and it's the game at San Francisco, then they would be tied in terms of conference record, and it would push the tiebreaker down to strength of victory, where the Ravens will lose. So there would not be enough common opponent games, and it would go to strength of victory. So a Jacksonville-Buffalo-Baltimore tie that includes Jacksonville only winning that one specific game at San Francisco is the way the Ravens get screwed at 10-6.
All right.
And by the way, I would love for that to be a low probability, and it is a low probability.
It sounds like a low probability.
But it's not that low a probability. It's not as low as the Patriots losing out, by, for example, and all the other things for them to be out. So it's more like a 1% chance. Jacksonville winning a game at San Francisco is not that hard, not that much of a stretch. Losing the game at Tennessee wouldn't be that much of a stretch. Losing the game at Houston is very unlikely. Sorry, losing the game at home against Houston is very unlikely. But anyway, those are the things that have to happen. I'd say it's a 1% range. As an actuary, I dealt with 1% chances that people would die all the time, and that's very important to us. So I don't like to have a 1% chance of this occurring.
All right. So a very small chance that the Ravens could win out, get to 10-6, and still not get into the playoffs.
Yes, sir.
All right. How about 9-7? Let's say we struggle one more week.
Sure. So there's several paths to 9-7, and it gets very complex and muddy. The Ravens are generally in fairly good shape at 9-7, but there's a couple of key scenarios they need to avoid if that's where they finish up. So I thought the easiest way to kind of analyze this is to go through each of the seven opposing teams, figure out how they can get to 9-7, and then what happens if they do. So let's kind of talk about each of those and what's the big risk in those cases.
All right, so we got the Bills. You want to start there?
Sure, we'll start with the Bills then. So the big risk of with the Buffalo is a tie in the common opponent category. So let's go through the Bills. There's no head-to-head play, so neither team wins that. The NFC records, sorry, the conference records, will be tied at 9-7. By the way, one way to look at that is look at the NFC record. Both teams have a 2-2 record against the NFC. That means any tie remaining on the year, because the wins are going to be fixed in the case of a tie, is going to have exactly the same AFC record as well. So it is synonymous to have the worst NFC record and have the tiebreaker won based on the conference tiebreaker. if that makes sense to you. So sure. it's best if you go 0-4 against the NFC, and then all your wins come against the AFC, and you have the tiebreaker.
All right. But Buffalo has Miami and New England left, so
that's right.
The chance of them getting up to 9-7 is slim.
Well, you know, they're 7-6 now, so they have to go 2-1 to get to 9-7. So
okay.
that's pretty darn likely, I would say, given their remaining schedule.
All right, right, because that's two games with Miami.
Right. So it's they play Miami is their last home game this week. Then they play at New England, at Miami to finish the season. So if they lose this game to Miami, I really don't like their chances. But New England will be playing for something now for sure in Week 16. They'll either be playing to maintain their bye at a risk of Jacksonville getting it, or they'll be playing to win the division if they lose the game to the Steelers.
Right.
And the are they playing to maintain the number one seed if they beat the Steelers?
Gotcha.
So two different ways that can happen. But the Miami win over New England was a big deal on this last Monday night because it really set up New England to have to play for something in Week 16.
All right. We mentioned the Bills play Miami two out of those next 3 weeks, which means the next team that we've also got in this issue is the Dolphins, who play the Bills two of these weeks, and Kansas City in the middle.
We're gonna get to them in just a second.
Okay,
because
you
there's
leave
one
that?
Other thing I got a
sure.
comment about on Buffalo.
Sure.
So we talked about the two things that are tied. The common opponent tiebreaker can be the thing which decides it. And the Ravens are now 3-0 against common opponents with two games still to play: Indianapolis and Cincinnati. So they at the worst, if the Ravens finish 9-7, they'll win one of those games and be 4-1 in those tiebreakers.
Okay.
Buffalo's currently 2-1 in the common opponent games, and they face Miami twice. So if they beat Miami both times and go 4-1, the Ravens will have to win both the Indianapolis and Cincinnati games to beat Buffalo in terms of common opponents. So that is probably the way it will have to play out for the Ravens, is they'll have to figure out a way to win both of those games, because otherwise they're going to have to beat Buffalo outright if they don't.
All right.
And if they fail to, and it ends up 4-1 for both teams, then it'll drop to strength of victory, and the Bills will beat the Ravens. So they can't have that. They need to win this tiebreaker right here on common opponents.
Okay. All right, that would be good. Now you want to talk about the Dolphins, because they'd have to win out to get to 9-7.
Yeah, they have to win out to get to 9-7. So they're at Buffalo, at Kansas City, and then back playing Buffalo again at home. So two road games is going to be hard for Miami. They don't typically travel too well in December anyway. And Buffalo and Kansas City are a couple difficult places to play in December. Buffalo because of the weather, and Kansas City just never loses at home in December. They didn't for a long time.
Right.
So anyway, their probability of finishing 9-7 is low. It's under 10%, I would say. We can often make the mistake of making that lower than it is by assuming these games are independent in terms of their outcome. They're not. I mean, if they beat Buffalo, for example, in this first week, then that automatically pretty much means Buffalo might be playing for nothing in the last week. So that would put them in a pretty bad, make Miami more likely to win that game.
Right.
So
if they lose to Miami, they're out of this chart. Or if they lose to Buffalo, they're out because they got to win all three.
Yes, that's correct. So they do have to win all three, but their chance of winning all three is actually better than just the multiplied probabilities of winning each one individually, is my point.
Gotcha.
So the Miami, if they get in a two-way tie for the Ravens, no problem. The Ravens have a much-remembered 40-0 win against Miami from Thursday night a few weeks back, and they win the head-to-head. The problem comes in when Miami gets into a three-way tie with the Ravens or a four-way tie, because if all the teams don't have head-to-head, then it head-to-head is ignored, and we move on to the conference record tiebreaker, where Miami has it won. They're one of the only teams in the conference who, at 9-7, will finish 8-4 in the conference. So that's very bad news for the Ravens if they get in a multi-way tie involving Miami. So
okay.
The Ravens need to hope that Miami gets involved in a swap of games with Buffalo and Kansas City, or probably Buffalo would be best. And it's not even clear to me who the Ravens are rooting for right now between Buffalo and Miami in this first week, just because of that.
Right, because either that's a game you just watch and see what happens and then plan.
There you go.
All right, Jacksonville. They've already got their 9 wins. So if they fall apart,
Yeah, it's so they could fall apart and go to 9-7. It's very unlikely. I suppose, you know, it'd probably be injury related if they did. Something would happen to Bortles or a key defensive player or whatever, and they could fall apart, I guess. The Jags have the head-to-head tiebreaker with the Ravens, of course, so they can't win that. The Jags currently are 1-2 against the NFC, so if they lost out to go to 9-7, they'd be 1-3 against the NFC, which means they'd be 8-4 against the AFC, and the Ravens cannot beat Jacksonville in a tiebreaker at 9-7. Okay. So that's a bad situation. That means the Ravens are very much hoping that Jacksonville wins the division. If Tennessee wins the division, it's very bad for the Ravens, yes.
Okay. All right, so that Jacksonville is easy. We root for them to just keep on winning.
That's right, and especially this game coming up against Houston, but we'll get to some of that rooting interest this week.
Yeah. All right, Tennessee, they're 8-5, so they're right in the mix.
Yeah, Tennessee, for a lot of reasons, they're not a very good football team. They have a very bad DVOA to start with. DVOA ranks them, I don't know, maybe 20th among teams or something right now. They're not a playoff team. They play three games remaining at San Francisco, against the LA Rams at home, who are the best team by DVOA, and then against Jacksonville at home. And that is a very tough slate of games where they do not figure to be favored in any of them. So their probability of finishing 9-7, it's kind of at the top end of what they can do. And they have the head-to-head on the Titans, so they still could work out the division, but in order to do so, they're going to have to figure out somehow to beat San Francisco and the LA Rams, because it doesn't look like Jacksonville's going to lose either of the next two games either. So I'm assuming that they'll probably be the wild card team that would be opposing the Ravens. If that happens, they have several different paths to get there. But if they win one of their two NFC games, that's the nightmare situation for the Ravens, because it means they'll still be around and they can push the situation from down to common opponents, and against certain opponents it'll drop into strength of victory, which kills the Ravens.
Gotcha.
So they just to do this quickly, there is one good thing about Tennessee, because the Tennessee has 11 common opponents with the Ravens. They also have 5 with both the Bills and the Ravens. So in that particular three-way tie, Tennessee, Buffalo, and Baltimore, the Ravens have a 5-0 record. Yes, a 5-0 record against those common opponents. Buffalo is 4-1 against those common opponents, and Tennessee's only 3-2. So Tennessee would be out in a three-way tie with Buffalo and Baltimore. That is good news.
Yes, if it gets down to a three-way tie, I think you're right. There's a good chance that that's the team we could face in the wild card and have a nice rematch from earlier this year.
We just mentioned that with Buffalo and Tennessee. So if that ends up being a four-way tie instead of a three-way tie, by the way, and it's very likely, because the AFC West is likely to have a 9-7 team.
Okay,
that's the Ravens are screwed again. They won't get the common opponent comparison.
All right, it'll so drop the victory. We need that three-way tie.
A three-way tie, or not to have, right. Or two-way tie, or no other ties, right. At 9-7 would be good too.
Right. Tennessee wins. Ravens win more than 9, we're okay. Tennessee loses out, we're okay. All right, Oakland, 6-7, but they're still in the hunt.
Okay, so an annoying team to be sure, and the Ravens have the head-to-head on them, and the Ravens have a conference tiebreaker win over them if they get to 9-7. So in this particular case, if Oakland is the 9-7 team from the West, they cannot in any way win a tiebreaker against the Ravens, regardless of how many opponents are involved. So they have to finish with 2 NFC wins, which means they're going to have the fewest AFC wins of any of the teams, and they cannot win a tiebreaker with any number of teams against the Ravens at 9-7. So that's good news for the Ravens if they're the team in a four-way tie.
Okay. So they will beat Oakland in a tie. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers, L.A.
Well, again, the Chargers only have 6 losses right now. They're 7-6. The Chargers are a significant threat still to win the AFC West. However, if both the Chargers and the Chiefs finish 9-7, I don't believe it matters how they got there at this point. I believe the Chiefs win the West over the Chargers. Okay, now the easiest way for that to happen is the Chiefs to win this week and take it outright. And it is an enormous game for the Ravens to have the Chiefs do that and put the division away. Okay. Otherwise, they're going to have to hope for help, and it gets a lot more dicey. All right. But if the Chargers get their seventh loss, there is no way that the Chargers, regardless of the number of teams involved, can beat the Ravens in any tiebreaker comparison at 9-7.
All right. So cross them out and hope they get to 9-7.
Yeah.
All right. Kansas City Chiefs, you just mentioned them, and they get to play the Chargers this weekend.
Sure. So that game is for the AFC West from the Chiefs' perspective. So they have two paths to the AFC West title. They can win this week against the Chargers, or they can get there to 9-7 and hope the Chargers drop a game, one of their next two games. But the Chiefs' easiest path is just to beat the Chargers at home this week, get it done. That will eliminate the Chargers from all 9-7 competition, and there's no scenario. Even though the Chiefs could drop out of the AFC West lead, there's no scenario where the Chiefs can beat the Ravens in a tiebreaker at 9-7 if they lose, if the Chiefs win this game. So that's the good news about it. There's no head-to-head between the Chiefs and the Ravens. The NFC, they're tied, so it's common opponents. Right now, the Ravens have the edge 3-2 to 2-2, but if the Chiefs lose to Miami in Week 16, they can win that outright. And that will be the backup plan for the Ravens if the Chiefs lose this game to the Chargers this weekend. One of the backup plans, anyway, is that the Chiefs will then also lose to Miami in Week 16.
All right. So that's all those teams. That gets us down to the real dirt of this weekend. The Ravens were clearly going to be rooting for as they play the Browns. But
sure.
As I have on Red Zone or the NFL ticket, what other games am I monitoring and rooting for?
Okay, so you got a few. We mentioned we don't want the 10-6 three-way tie to bone the Ravens. So Jacksonville beating Houston at home will eliminate that possibility. So that would be nice if that happened. We're rooting for Jacksonville to win the division. We need Jacksonville also to keep pressure on New England, so the New England game against Buffalo is meaningful for them.
All right, so root for Jacksonville.
Root for Jacksonville. Game number two, we just talked about, is Kansas City-San Diego in Kansas City. Huge game for the Ravens. If Kansas City wins, San Diego cannot win a tiebreaker, and in fact, no AFC West team can win a 9-7 tiebreaker against the Ravens if Kansas City beats San Diego. So that's an absolutely huge game, one of the biggest games of the year for the Ravens.
All right, so Kansas City win. Jacksonville win. Those are both really good things. What about Miami-Buffalo? Because we talked about how that could go either way.
Sure. We'd like, in one sense, we'd like Miami to beat Buffalo because it would be a common opponent loss for Buffalo. It would mean there's no way Buffalo could tie the Ravens at 9-7. It would reopen the door, of course, for Miami to finish 9-7.
Right.
And you would not want to have a Miami... What's the one? Miami-Tennessee-Baltimore is... the one that would be very bad. Yeah, Miami, Tennessee, Baltimore would be a bad triple for the Ravens. So I think the Ravens want Miami to beat Buffalo, but it's not as obvious as it might have been otherwise.
Okay. And what about Tennessee?
Again, I'm not 100% sure what the Ravens want in that game either. It's easier if Tennessee loses. But it's also nice if they're not in any possibility of falling to 9-7. And the reason it'd be nice is because if Miami wins and Miami is in a sole tiebreaker with the Ravens at 9-7, then the Ravens win that tiebreaker. So it'd be nice to not have another team involved in that to muck it up. So ideally, and I think probably the most likely way for the Ravens to get in is for Tennessee to start losing games and quite possibly lose all three. But certainly lose two and then enhance the chance of beating Buffalo in a tiebreaker.
Right, and then again, the key thing is if the Ravens just keep winning and get to 10-6, that's way higher probabilities, and we don't have to worry about a lot of this stuff.
That's right. I mean, their chance to get in at 10-6 is I'm going to go through this in my head right now. In excess of 95%. but not 99%. So it might be 96-97%.
All right. The NFL tweeted out a little bit ago, and they put the Ravens at a 65.3% chance of making the playoffs.
Seems low.
Where do you have it? You think that's low?
Yeah, but DeVoa says it's around 80%, and there are a lot of potholes to the Ravens winning tiebreakers at 9-7. We just talked about some of them. They got potholes with Buffalo, and they got potholes with the Chiefs, and they have also a pothole potentially with Jacksonville if Jacksonville suddenly loses some ball games. But they are the best of the wild card teams at the very least. You know, you take New England and Pittsburgh out of this mix, the Ravens are the best, and they're playing probably the weakest schedule of anybody. So I really believe they're a strong favorite still to get it, and I think the 80% that DeVoe puts it at is probably a pretty good estimate.
All right. I like that 80%. Now, the whole reason all of this really matters is because about a month ago, remember, I bet on the Ravens to win the Super Bowl when I was down at Atlantis. So I've got my 80-1 little slip of paper here now for my $20.
Okay, so that'll pay you $1,620 if it wins.
Yeah, not bad.
And so, not bad at all. So let me just get my calculator over here, handy dandy. So,
but even more than the money, I get to remember the lady laughing at me at the sports book as she played my.
That's good. Okay, so according to the current odds, you can get. Let's see, you got to win the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, I went. I went all out.
Okay, so the current odds are 50-1 that you can get on that. The current odds that the DeVoa would give it is about 3.9%. So if I took 3.9% of $1,620, your ticket's now worth about $63. So laugh right back in her face. In fact, you might want to call her now before the ticket loses value at some future point.
That's what she's saying. Yeah, I could sell it to you now for $63.
There are ways to hedge that if you need to look at that, Josh, but we'll take a look at that at a future date.
No, you told me 80% chance of getting into the playoffs. I'm going to go with that. And DeVoa feels good about the Ravens, so I in fact just found my little slip of paper as we were at the beginning of this show. I found it in my wife's purse where I put it, thinking it wasn't worth much except for a piece of paper.
You'll have it. You can tack it up on your board.
It's now tacked up in the studio, and hopefully it'll soon be on its way to Atlantis.
Well, it's already worth $63 worth of your plane fare to the Atlantis to cash it in. So at some point it'll be worth $1,620, and you guys actually may say, well, we could get down there for air, the two of us, and spend a weekend.
I think there's some mail order. I don't think I have to go down there to cash it in.
Even better.
So I don't plan on spending the money to go pick up the money.
Yeah.
So, all right, Ken. Well, thank you for doing all this math and going through and really helping us break down and understand where the Ravens are.
And love and life, Josh.
Each week, the Ravens' odds increase, so let's hope it increases again this weekend. Is this all written up on Russell Street Report?
It is. It's out there, so there's an article on it where you can go and pick and prod at it, and it's called the AFC Wild Card Race. And out on Russell Street Report, follow me on Twitter, at Film Study Ravens. And Josh, you mentioned 336 at the beginning of the show, but give them a little bit more information on that.
All right. 336 is my Baltimore sports podcast. Very heavy Orioles, also covers the Ravens. And if you're like me and you're seeing all the news of the Ravens and potentially rebuilding and should they rebuild and all this that's been talked this week during the winter meetings, you should go check out Section 336 because on Monday, we had a new episode come out where we talked a lot about these rumors. But then today, just a few minutes ago, we released a little mini episode where I had a conversation with Cedric Mullins, who is a Oriole prospect, outfielder, a really nice guy, easy to root for, and a good baseball player. So it's as all this talk, we have some positive future to look at.
He's a 5'8", left-handed hitting outfielder, if I recall correctly.
Yes. Okay. He played in Bowie this past summer, and I imagine he'll be in Norfolk this coming spring.
That's good. I think he'll be 23 this next year, so his career is like right on target for the level.
Really fast. Very fast guy, and that's what he focuses on. So there's a short 336, a little 10-minute episode up there, just talking with him and getting to know him a little better.
That's a cool guest to have on that show, and I just want to point out to people it's a very fun podcast they do. Him and his brother-in-law do it together, and they're very good and entertaining to listen to.
All right. Thank you, Ken. And we'll talk soon.
Take it easy.
Winning comes in all shapes and sizes. Every day there's an opportunity for a win, just like scratchers from the Virginia Lottery. Every day grab and go, every day giftable, every day fun. It's where anticipation meets instant gratification. And they're satisfying to scratch, no matter the outcome. Like the new Virginia Lottery Scratcher Colossal Cash. It's loaded with $100 to $500 prizes. Now, that's an everyday win. Drive to the nearest Virginia Lottery retail location and pick up a scratcher today. Odds of winning any prize, 1 in 3.21.
Some cars are comfy on the inside, but don't have power on the outside. And some cars have the horsepower, but none of the comfort. I used to think there weren't any cars that were the total package. But that all changed when I got my Honda SUV. It's rugged and sophisticated. And right now, Honda has deals on the entire Honda SUV lineup. CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, you name it. So if you're looking for a car that's the total package, the only place you'll find it is at your local Honda dealer. Hurry before they're all gone.